Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Welcome to Let's Get Busy. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 236 of the podcast, and Sarah Varin is joining me today. Sarah Varin is a graphic novelist. She's a comic artist. She's a cartoonist. She's awesome. Maybe you have her books in your library or in your house or on your to-read pile right now. First Second has just published, or rather perhaps republished, a collection of some of Sarah's earliest works. It's called Sweater Weather, and it's outstanding, and you can see her journey to where she is now with those great books like Bake Sale and Robot Dreams and the illustration she did on Odd Duck. It's all there, and it's all fantastic. And in fact, this year, First Second is celebrating 10 years. Congratulations, First Second. You can share in the party by taking photos of you with your favorite First Second publications and using the hashtag 10 years of First Second. That's the number 10 years of 01. I'll link to it in the show notes so that it's easier to remember. But now it's time for my chat with Sarah Varin. Let's get busy. Welcome to the Let's Get Busy podcast, Sarah Varin. I'm really excited to talk to you today.
Oh, thanks. I'm excited to be here.
Sarah, I love your books. And more importantly, my students love your books. And I mean all the way from just last week, one of my first graders asked if you are writing a sequel to Odd Duck. And I was like, actually, Sarah didn't write that one, but...
It's nice that I got credit.
It's exactly. Well, and I mean, to even have... So I've gotten into this fun habit that I've been putting on display the books of the people that I'm going to be interviewing the following week so that I can talk about it with the kids and also they can talk about it with me, because that then helps me then going into a chat to know fresh in my mind, this is what they are saying about your books, as well as what I am enthusiastically saying, but I can't even put out your books. They just get checked out too fast, which is a wonderful, wonderful problem to have. Yeah. But the other fun thing I see, and I hope that you get it too, is that my students from even the very, very young up to my fifth graders all love to copy your art style, to draw what you do. And they sometimes are tracing it, but other times just have a paper right open beside. Often it's robot. I see robot being drawn a lot. And dog being drawn a lot, but that quality of I don't know, the simple shapes that you use, the big round lines that you use.
Yeah, right, and maybe they're like thick, they're definitely, you know, anyone can do it, you know, that's nice.
I think I see the same quality in you that I value so much in what Mo Willems does, which is that I feel like you've edited your characters down so well that your readers can also share their own versions of the story, which is neat to be able to see that in some way they can mimic the art that you make.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like that quality. And I love that really what brought us together to talk tonight is that Sweater Weather is coming out with First Second. Or maybe it, by this point, maybe it has.
It's coming out in February, right? I'm not sure. I thought it was February, but then...
I think by the time this posts, it'll be out, I believe. Because I'll post in a week or two. And that's super exciting, especially for the readers, like I said, that have read Bake Sale and that have read Robot Dreams, to have a collection of your early comics all together. And what I really value of it is the little prefaces you put between each of the short stories to say where the story came from. Or more importantly, what I really love is when you say, okay, in this story, I'm the dog. And in this story, I'm the person. And I'm also the dog too. And I really like that because I think for a reader to hear that so blatantly that the person creating is also in part one of the characters in that quality, I don't think necessarily that that's something that a young reader always jumps to. And I think it's really neat to, again, to have my kids that are making comics and drawing and illustrating, to have them be thinking that in some way that is you on the page. You're illustrating yourself into a story.
Yeah. I mean, I think every author must do that, right?
Everyone must. But no one talks about it is what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
And that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the cupcake.
Yeah, I'm the cupcake.
I'm a cupcake, yeah. What else? An alligator.
I was going to say, you could just name them all, right?
Yeah.
I love, no matter what animal you are, I love that, or what animal you draw, that they all just seem friendly and inviting and like, oh, I could be in this world. I could be in a world of sentient food. It'd be totally fine and cool.
Oh, that's nice. I always feel like that is, like, for me, somebody asked me what are my favorite books, and I always feel like the sign of a good book is if you feel like you want to be friends with that character or you want to live in that world. So that's a compliment.
Yeah, I think it's a quality that I think not only is inviting in the books, but I think it's telling of the person that you are, and that makes it also like that much warmer to know this is the kind of person that's making stories out there. From things that are strange or silly or obscure, or just in a comic, to have a safe place like that, to know that like, oh, I'm really into this and it's a little bit weird and cool and I like it. And that makes me like the author even more because I know that they must be in part just like me.
Kind of a weirdo. Yeah, that's good. That.
Yeah. Hey, do you mind just sharing with the listeners what Sweater Weather is? How do you summarize this?
It was a reprint of the first book that I did, which came out in 2003. And so half of it is the same stories, but it's kind of repackaged and redesigned. And then it's a bunch of shorts. So maybe it's sort of like a best of short stories that I've done. Like it's those short stories and then other just short little things I've done over maybe 10 years.
Yeah.
And then there's also a narrative running through. So I mean, they're all really different. Like some are nonfiction and then the drawing style changes. So I think there's a narrative that sort of explains maybe, I think the point of it is to explain like how people make things and what you're thinking about and what's happening in one's life or like what I was happening in my life as I was making things. So it kind of shows the big picture.
Yeah, I like that it shows, not that we see an evolution in your style per se, but I do like that.
I hope so, because I think this, like, when I look at the older stuff, it's so bad.
Oh, it's so bad?
Yeah, aww. And also there's me sort of, like, fumbling through different mediums, but I also think, I mean, I hope that that's interesting, you know? I hope it's interesting for kids to see, like, oh, you get better over time, like, if you stick with it, you know? And you learn about materials and stuff like that, and you can, you know, you have to sort of find your way through the materials and figure out what's good for you and what works and what doesn't.
Okay, I would never say that your early comics here are bad.
Oh, well,
definitely
so
different, though. I could acknowledge that some of the beats feel like you're still trying to figure out how to tell the story the right way. But that makes it even interesting as well, because you have that comment prior to it saying, like, there was that one comic that you did that was that exercise of doing, like, going through the alphabet right on each of the panels.
Okay. Yeah.
And that, to call that out and to know, then to enjoy the comic but then read it and know that there's an intention between why some things might appear, right, and why random. It might be a little weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't even the one of the opening comics might even be the first one. Is it the first one? Yeah, in the
Yeah, in the first comic with Turtle and Rabbit, where your note says something like, I was doing these fantastical things that I didn't even realize I was doing, like shrinking and enlarging my characters. I thought, I don't know that I ever would have even noticed it, or maybe it's just that I take it for granted when you call it out that it's, oh yeah, that's a thing that you're doing. And
I
I thought,
guess, yeah, but I didn't really know because I was just doing stuff, you know,
you're just doing it, yeah.
But I can't really, yeah. I mean, I look back and I think, oh, how did I think of that? I wish I could do that
Yes.
again. But it's, yeah, whatever. I mean, everybody's always, you're always doing different things at different times, but.
I think it's awesome. I think I like seeing the one of my favorite comics in here is the one with dog and robot. And the tone of it is so different, right? I mean, it's so sad and feels like working through different emotions. That was one that
Oh,
I
does
really
it feel different than Robot Dreams? Because
it
it's the same first, it's the same as the first chapter. I just
exactly
drew
yeah
it.
well I think it feels different in that it ends and then that's where it ends.
Yeah, and it's over.
It's over,
Yes.
like, oh wait,
Yeah.
I'm left with this emotion. So yeah,
Yeah.
it totally feels different than Robot Dreams.
Oh. Oh, okay. That's so interesting.
I mean, just to, in that in even just to think that, wow, this used to be a thing that just stopped here. To take for granted that it wasn't just like, and here's the first chapter of my awesome graphic novel. But that it just is contained that way. As yeah, I don't know. There's just moments like that, that especially I think to be a reader who has read your other stuff and then to read this, I think is sort of, it's sort of like, not that kids do this, but it's sort of like watching a movie again that you really love, but watching it again with a commentary and going, okay, well now let's look at my thought behind why I do what I've done and the decisions that I made, and some are happy accidents and some are intentional. But knowing that stuff, Sarah, makes me appreciate your art more because of the thought behind it and the way that you can see some happy accidents, but also know that some things you were just trying to make work. Like I
Oh.
loved finding out, I loved reading in the boxing one first. That's why I was saying I was discovering new things about you. Like
Oh.
Sarah Farron boxed? That's awesome. But also to hear like you saying that you wanted to make sure that it was clear that they were friends and that was a hard thing to strike, trying to figure out how am I going to balance this to make sure that the reader understands they're friends, and it's okay. And I think you pulled that off really well. But I think that as someone who is thinking about writing, as a kid who is writing their own stories, or as a teacher who's working with children to write stories, to have that note is really, really important because
Oh, that's so great. Like,
yeah,
I'm
it
glad
shows
that
us,
it's helpful.
it's amazingly helpful. I don't think I can understate how very, very helpful the notes that
Oh,
you've left are. It's like this
yes.
virtual author visit, but with a guided comic
Oh,
tour.
nice. Whoa. I'm so happy to hear that.
No doubt, legit. I mean, it's amazing. I really appreciated this. And to the extent that I feel like, well, anyone that's seen the Sweater Weather prior is it, this is sort of the more complete version, the director's cut, if you will,
Well,
in the way that it
some
just.
things got taken out of that. That it was a little different.
Yeah.
Like they were doing different things, I think, the
Okay.
version, the
Well, there
two.
you go. Then the way that they were structured and organized was for a different purpose.
Yeah. And some things got taken out. There was a story about a smoking snowman.
Oh, that's a little different.
Yes. Ooh,
A
the
little,
intrigue.
maybe not ideal for your target
Yeah.
audience.
So he got removed. He felt, well, I thought he was smoking. He was always like having a great time and smoking cigarettes. And then one night he fell asleep smoking and watching the stars, and his scarf set on fire and he melted. So I thought, you know, it's not like showing that, you know, it's not encouraging of cigarettes, but Mark at first second said librarians would not want it if there was a smoking snowman. So
Or a snowman that suddenly finds himself caught on fire.
Maybe
There
that's
is
the one
that.
part, yeah.
I mean, it is nice to have the takeaway of like, hey guys, smoking can be really dangerous.
Yeah. For many reasons.
But the idea of like, oh my word, snowmen can die is a little, it takes you back to Norman Briggs, to the snowman, only that was like, I want to save you in my freezer, not, I want to save you from burning yourself. Oh my word. So you've got 10 years of comics here. Here's another cool thing to find out that through some of this, it's not only that you're reading certain comics, so it's nice to hear that there's that reference, but also that you're submitting to different things and that there's these grants that potentially take you all around the world, right? I'm learning about these things that like took you to Switzerland for drawing comics. That's cool.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was like winning the lottery.
I mean, really? You drew comics and you got to go to Switzerland.
Yeah, and it was like the best comics festival. And I didn't even know what that thing was, but I was in school and my friend was like, oh, you should submit because the theme this year is camping. And they usually have these really heavy themes or like, you know, really broad things like war homesickness or something, but this year it was camping and my friend said, oh, you should submit something, and I didn't know what it was. And then I got a phone call and these people were like, oh, are you coming to our festival? And I was like, no, I have to work. I'm like, and it's in another country. And they were like, oh, well, you know, you're gonna get some money, so you should come. So I did. And that, like, that's the amazing thing too, is that in Switzerland the government pays for arts, you know, so there was money.
Wow.
So that was pretty exciting. And they were so nice and Switzerland was amazing. And it was like, it's really like the best comics festival.
Does it happen every year?
Yes. It's called Fumetto and it's, it's just really great. Like it kind of takes up the whole town. Like it's a really small town and there's gallery shows and it's fun. And it's the kind of comics that I really like. Like, I'm not a big superhero fan, so there's not that kind of stuff. It's mostly European stuff, but they had some international stuff. It's pretty great. I think it's in April every year.
Very cool. I'll have to link to the site if they have a site we can find. That'll
to
see like what other people are creating and sharing and what's going on. I mean, much like it's fun to show kids when SPX puts their new artists up for who's coming to the Small Press Expo, and just to see like, guys, you can go here and like come home with a handful of mini comics that you can study and make yourself. That's like that kind of stuff is cool too.
Yeah.
Hold on. I need to talk about boxing. Oh. Sarah, have you left the professional world of boxing?
I have.
For illustration instead.
No, I was never, you know, I went to the boxing gym for maybe 10 years. And I had, for some reason, I thought when I started that it looked like it would be really fun. And you know what? Like, it really hurts to get punched in the face.
Oh, no!
I know that because I wasn't like a street fighter. I didn't, you know, get in schoolyard fights and stuff. So I had one fight and it was like my first and last fight and it wasn't very fun at all. So, but I stuck with the, you know, I did it like the training because it's really fun and it's a good workout.
Yeah, so like full body, good cardio workout. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, and there's a community. There was a community. That was pretty nice. There's a boxing community. So just like there's a comics community or, I don't know, a hockey community or whatever. So
a community of all the people that have been punched in the face and know how much it hurts.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. Hey, so you've got some other stuff coming out or is out. No, coming out. That's amazing that I need to talk about with you because the universe has been sending Sarah Varen branded material my way, apparently.
Oh.
Which is awesome. The comic you have in the upcoming Comic Squad.
Oh.
In Lunch. Comic Squad Lunch is fantastic. And you did it with somebody, right? You authored it with somebody?
Oh, I'm so glad you liked it. I did it with Cecil Castellucci, who did Odd Duck.
Oh, with Cecil. That's right. I made that connection too when I read it. Yeah. That was great. What a great comic about the two boys that are fighting, right? That, and then sort of get put on lunch detention together, if I remember right.
Yeah. She is really fun to work with. So yeah, that was a good experience.
It was a really good comic. That's a good comic set. Let me tell you that Comic Squad, gang that Jarrett and Jenny and Matt have pulled together for the second comic, and I'm sure there's a, I know that there is going to be a third, and hopefully a 14th and a 30th and whatever, because it's fantastic to see faces like you connecting with all of our readers. It's just great. Good stuff.
Yeah.
I approve. I know you were all looking for my approval of Comic Squad before it came out. Whew. Yes. Thank goodness.
Now we can breathe.
No, it's good though. Yeah, I don't think that's out yet either. It's fun to, I'm talking about, to you about apparently all of these upcoming things you've got. You've got a busy year.
Yeah, I do. It kind of all, I didn't get, nothing came out for a really long time, and now everything's coming out at once, or a lot of stuff is coming out at once.
It's close, right? When do you know when Comic Squad comes out? I can look it up.
I don't know. I think February or March too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then the Comic Squad, I'm noting, I'm going to put all this in the show notes because
I know
everyone
they're
needs to know about it.
A little promo tour. I think there's somebody's doing something in Baltimore, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. You know, I have the schedule. I can forward it to you.
I would love that. I will share it around. It will be wonderful. Yeah. The new, to have all of the comics themed around lunch as opposed to recess like last time, but this time to have, you and Cecil have this great lunchroom story, and there's a new comic with Snoopy, and Nathan Hale's got a historical one about lobbing potatoes at a battleship. This is just it's fantastic. It's a great series. And then to have the other thing that I got, which I'm super excited to get to talk to Aaron next month, is that I got President Squid.
Yeah.
Which has the most wonderful, like, neon pink eye-popping color to it. And
I'm so glad that you noticed that, because it's an extra color.
I was just gonna say, it pops out in a different way. Tell me about that. How does it, what is it? Is it like it's a different finish on it, or what do you mean by it's an extra color?
It's not, I don't know how much you know about printing, but usually printing is CMYK, which is, you know,
okay.
Not everybody knows.
No, okay, please.
So printing, usually books are printed in CMYK, which is cyan, magenta, yellow, and black. And then the inks overlap and it gets sort of a full color palette. But it's not really, if you see other colors, you know, there's like no fluorescence or anything. There's colors that you can't make with that. So the process that is, so it's printed in CMYK, and then there's a spot color, which is like a pure fluorescent ink. So it's a fifth color. So you would say it's a fifth color.
It's a fifth color.
Yeah, it's a fifth color, like a fifth dimension.
You guys, it's a fifth dimension.
Yeah.
That picture, is it, Sarah, is that your first picture book?
No, it's not. Because I did Chicken and Cat. I don't know.
Oh, Chicken and Cat. Okay.
Yes.
I'm aware of Chicken and Cat.
Yeah, that was a super long time ago. I haven't done picture books in a long time.
It's been a while, yeah. That picture book, that's going to be, I think, a million people's favorites this year.
Oh, that's exciting.
The
I'm
voice
so glad
in it.
You noticed that pink.
That pink is brilliant. Oh. Like a brilliant color, like a literal, to use the word the way it's meant to be word.
Yeah.
The way it's meant to be used. That
like
pink,
glowing.
It stands out, it's glowing, and it, for the character that Squid is, for the character that Aaron has written, that voice is so good to read that aloud, my word. But that ink, to have it just stand out, constantly standing out, page after page, for a character that's trying to stand out is just, it works so well.
Huh.
That's a beautiful book.
It's great.
Yeah, no doubt. That's, man, good stuff. Thanks. Sarah, you're all about good stuff.
Yay!
Thank you. Thank you for being a good stuff representative.
Thank you for being a good reader.
Oh, man. My kids don't even know. They don't even understand the concept of, like, guys, I'm going to read this book to you. You're going to obsess over it. And then we're not actually going to have it in our library for a couple months because it's not actually out yet.
Oh,
but I need
cool.
to share this with you. Yeah, it's that. I mean, it's, yeah, it's a great privilege.
Yeah.
But
they get like, they're like on a special honor.
But to have them, see, now I need to get them like on social media somehow through our library Twitter account or something, because it's fun when like reviewers, when we get books early and we get to talk about them and help build that buzz, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like kids are also incredibly good at doing that, because of President Squid, and there's a couple others that I've read to them that are not out yet. They talk about it with their classmates, and they talk about it like it gets around. You hear about it, and then it ends up like the school wants this book that It's not in our library yet, guys. It happened with there's another picture book that Andy Rash did called Archie the Daredevil Penguin, which likewise was one that they just were like, how do I get this?
Oh, that's great.
So it's fun to know that. Like kids are strong book advocates. I know you know this, but even more so for like in school marketing, they're great.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, everybody wants to be the first to see something. So right? That's cool for your kids.
Yeah, and just to talk about it that way is cool. Do you, Sarah, do you get to do many school visits?
I don't do a ton of school visits, actually. I'm kind of, I'm sort of a hermit. I'm not really that comfortable in front of crowds and
oh, no.
public speaking, so I don't do that many. But I do them sometimes. I'm doing one, I think the Friday before Valentine's Day.
Oh, okay.
So I'm making Valentine's actually this week.
Oh, look at you. You don't do a lot of school visits, but when you do, you make Valentine's. Oh my goodness. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, sweet that you would make it so sweet of a visit like that.
Oh, you know, I actually, for some reason, I just love to make Valentine's, so it was sort of conveniently timed.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm not like a super sappy person or anything, but
I need to hear this. What is making Valentine's to you? Are you like a fold paper in half and make hearts? Are you like a design a couple ones and print them out and what are making Valentine's to you?
I'm a printmaker, so I teach at the School of Visual Arts and I love it's like I'm a little ashamed, but I love like stationery and like postcards and stuff like that. So I like to make I always make like a holiday mailer to send to clients and friends and stuff, and then I also usually send a Valentine. So you know, if you're printmaking, you make like, you know, it's easy to make like 50. I offered to do it, and then I was like, oh, how many students are there? And she said 500.
No,
so I made them really small, and there's peen on a sheet, and we have this cool printer at school. So but I like a good thing about teaching is you get access to the equipment.
Amen.
So there's like a special kind of a printer called Risograph. So I'm making, you know, it's just a fun excuse to make a printing project.
I love that. That's fun.
And everybody likes to get a Valentine.
Oh my word, everybody. I feel like you and Greg Pozzoli are in that awesome printmaking group. He makes buttons.
He's so good.
That guy makes buttons. And I'm like, man, everybody loves buttons. And likewise, everybody loves to get a Valentine. How sweet is that?
Yeah.
Aw. Adorable. Sarah, I'm really glad to get to know the person behind these books. You are a wonderful human being.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't
know if that's true, but I'm glad you think it is.
Well, if your comics speak at all for you, in addition to this time we've had together, I know it to be true. So you'll just have to take my word for it.
Okay.
But thank you for creating the art that you do for our students and for having such a unique approach to it, for a unique voice, I should say. I really value that your art is identifiable and it's fun and it's welcoming and it's friendly. And it feels like something that invites children to be a part of the story. And that's something that I value deeply when I read your work.
Oh, that's cool. Great.
All right, before I let you go, Sarah, I want to ask you about kickball. Is this okay if I ask you about kickball?
Oh, yeah. Great. I got your question.
I mean, you're all like in shape, ready to go for it. I know you've been training with boxing and stuff.
That's right.
So we'll just keep that conditioning onto the field. I'm assembling an all-star kid lit dream team kickball tournament. And I would love to know, Sarah Varen, what one person alive or past from the kid lit world you would want on your team and why?
Well, you know what? I just read that, the book that Ted and Betsy Lewin put out about, I can't even remember what it's called. I think How to Babysit a Cheetah or something. Do you know that book?
Yes. I've seen the cover of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And they came and spoke at the Society of Illustrators and they were so great. But I think that Ted Lewin was a wrestler, like a professional wrestler. I think so. He must be like, so, I mean, he's kind of an older guy, but I bet like he's pretty sporty.
He was a wrestler?
Yeah, I kind of think, I mean, I'm not sure, but I kind of think awesome. It was just like something that he did as a job when he was younger because like, he could do it. But then, you know, it wasn't like something that he always wanted to be. And then obviously he's this amazing painter, so he did that instead.
Yeah.
But I bet he's pretty sporty. I bet he can kick.
Oh, that's amazing to think to think the person behind that art also had that background.
Right?
That's amazing.
Yeah. I know, because the art is, it's so like sensitive and like
it is. Yeah.
Beautiful. It's and just yeah, and like delicate.
Wow, that would make me think that he's all like Mr. Miyagi style, like knowing the art of the sport in order to conquer your enemy before you even like move, right? That very zen-like thing. Wow, Ted Lewin, man. Wow, thank you for teaching me something.
So who else is on your team?
Oh, on my team?
So far. I mean, the team.
Since the team.
I'm not the first person that you asked this question.
Right? Oh, no, no, no. I've asked a lot of people, and I love hearing that there's this great mix of practical answers and also just ones that are sort of whimsical. Like, well, I grew up reading this person's book and I would always want them around. I hear Madeline L'Engle a lot, and that's probably a person that I would mention too, because she just seems so, she seems so spunky in her life. If you ever heard her read her audiobooks, if you get her audiobooks from the library, specifically A Wrinkle in Time, she reads with such energy and a ferocity almost, just that it always felt to me like she was reading the words out of fear that the words would go away. And I always thought that was a really cool thing, that there's just what you could feel her reading propelling you through the story. And so whenever anyone brings up her name, I'm always like, oh yeah, that's
She's well, so in my she's on too. Is she like the captain of the team? Maybe she's
she may have to be. I definitely would take my orders from her. Okay. So but others like that come up, that it's fun to hear classics like Roald Dahl being the giant of a man that he was, or Shel Silverstein being the Intimidator.
Oh, he would be good.
Yeah, but then also to hear contemporaries, people that have they've grown up with, or have shared in doing books with, or just that they want to hang out on the bench and talk to. it's really charming to hear that.
Think about that part of it. Yeah.
So it comes in from all angles, but it tells me a little bit about the guest that I have on, which is just goes to show that it or proves itself once again with you. And I really appreciate your answer, Sarah. Thank you again for coming on to talk to me and to the listeners tonight.
Oh, sure. It was great talking to you.
Let's Get Busy is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. And by All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton and The Best Book Ever This Week. Our theme music is by Blue Ducks. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if this episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate Let's Get Busy on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook, Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that is a very good thing indeed.
Next up on Let's Get Busy, Hannah Barnaby shares the story behind Some of the Parts, her YA novel. And later in the week, Keith Negley talks about Tough Guys Have Feelings Too, a wonderful picture book from Flying Eye. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.